Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
And welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm your host today. Joe may be back with us later to our special Final Four edition. Of course, today, in about a couple of hours, we're going to have the beginning of the NCAA Final Four in Atlanta, where Louisville will take on Wichita State, the Shockers, playing angry, as Coach Greg Marshall would say. Louisville, of course, as athletic, defensive-minded, tough, resilient as you can be. And in the other game, we'll have Michigan athletic Trey Burke, player, basically the player of the year in everybody's poll. Coach Beilein's Michigan Maize and Blue will take on Syracuse and the Orange Crush, the Q's, out of New York. Syracuse under Jim Boeheim, and Syracuse won a national championship about 10 years ago. And that's interesting from where I'm sitting, because Michigan last time in the Final Four was 20 years ago. So pretty interesting. Louisville's back for a second year in a row in Wichita State. I think it was 19, and our listeners can check it out, was 1964. Or somewhere in there when they were in the NCAA finals. So it's going to be a great Final Four, okay? I think the anticipation leading up the tournament was wonderful. The teams, you know, we saw Indiana jump back into the national scene, and I mean really jump back on the national scene, spending many months atop the polls as the number one team. We had the Big Ten, one of the strongest conferences in the tournament, did well in the tournament. I know a lot of people will criticize the Big Ten for not having, I don't know, did they expect four teams to make it to the Final Four? You know, we've got Michigan in there. Ohio State had its opportunity. Wichita State derailed them. So when you look at it, the Big Ten seriously had two teams that were in a position to go to the Final Four. One made it, Michigan. And if you just stretch it a little bit, Michigan State was right there, Indiana was right there, and we would have had four teams knocking on the door to move in. I mean, you really could have had Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Indiana coming out of there. But it didn't happen. We've got Michigan out of the Big Ten. Interesting enough, the Big East, a conference that is criticized quite a bit, as being overrated. They've got two teams in this Final Four, Louisville and Syracuse. And I know I'm not, I've done it. I've criticized. It seems like the Big East was always getting all these teams into the NCAA tournament, and I just questioned that. They really didn't perform like they should. But if you take a look at multiple teams from the same conference, 2013, I just talked about it, we have Louisville and Syracuse out of the Big East. Guess what? In 2009, which was the last time to have multiple teams out of a conference, in 2009, Connecticut and Villanova. So the Big East was right there. Before that, it was 2006. The SEC had Florida and LSU. And then you can go back to 2005. The Big Ten had Illinois and Michigan State. 2004, the ACC. And 2003, 2002, the Big 12 had multiple teams, two teams. Guess who they were? Of course, Kansas, Texas in 2003, and then Kansas and Oklahoma in 2002. So it's not, it doesn't happen all the time. We don't see multiple teams getting into the Final Four that often. But it does happen. It happened this year, as I just said. Louisville and Syracuse coming out of the Big East. And guess what? They were really the two best teams in the Big East. No doubt about it. They were the two best teams in the Big East. They were competitive all year round, all year long. They spent time up at the top. And when I say at the top, in the top three, four, five in the nation, Syracuse hit a speed bump, dropped down. Louisville hit a speed bump. They were always given a little bit extra leeway when they'd hit a speed bump because they felt like this team was the real deal. The inside play of Deng, the outside play, perimeter play of Smith and Siva, they just got a solid group. But that's what we're here for today, folks. We'll spend the next hour, a little less than an hour, talking about the Final Four. And if you want to leave comments or ask questions or ask a specific topic, you can do that. You can text me, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, Coach K, at 812-480-9449. Again, that's my text number where you can reach me, 812-480-9449. Might be a little difficult for me to look at Facebook messages today as I am running the board and the talking head, so to speak. You can also call 773-897-3-6325 if you have a question or a comment. And that might be, you might have to wait a little bit to get on the air. But if you text us, we will communicate your text. We're not like ESPN. We're not like Mike and Mike. We're not like Colin Cowherd. We're not going to say, oh, those guys don't agree with us. We're not going to put their text on the air. Or we're not going to let you talk, and then the minute you say something that's against our opinion, shut you off. But you guys are used to listening to that. Again, we've got Louisville, Wichita State coming up in the first game, Michigan, Syracuse coming up in the second game. And when we come back, we'll delve a little deeper into the Final Four. We'll delve a little deeper into the coaches, into the teams, the obstacles in winning these first-round games, and the positives. I also want to tell you about the new Ball State coach. We've got a new Ball State, hired a new coach today, the Muncie, Indiana school, Mid-American Conference school. They went with a Division I associate head coach. You know the team that he coaches for, and you know the head coach he coaches with. In fact, the head coach was in the news quite a bit this week because of not anything he did, but something some officials did. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll start talking a little bit about that. We'll tell you who's the new head man at Ball State. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm your host today. I'm always the host, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Joe, I don't know where he's at. He was all excited to do the Final Four special, and who knows? Who knows? He might be lining Kugel Land somewhere. I'm not sure. But we are back, and we're talking Final Four, and in a couple hours they're going to kick off in Atlanta. And I'm not in Atlanta. I wish I was. But we've got some friends and contributors and listeners to the show that are down in Atlanta, and they have been texting back and emailing and letting us know that it is tremendous energy in Fulton County, down in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Final Four. And it should be. It should be. I mean, you've got Louisville, who always draws well. You know, they have a great fan base, and you would think, well, it's University of Kentucky that has the great fan base. Yes, they do, but Louisville has a great fan base. Look what they've done in football, and now what they're doing, continuing to do in basketball under Coach Rick Pitino, outstanding. So we've also got Wichita State down there, the Cinderella that nobody expected. Even our indie contributor, Don Schulteis, who once in a while wants to tell me that he picked Wichita State. He didn't. He didn't. And I do want to thank Don, and I know Don's listening. Don, if you want to call in and talk a little bit about the hoops and what's going on, you may do that. Again, our number is 773-897-6325. And Don was the one that alerted me that Ball State had hired a new coach. You know, on Friday's show, we were talking about Ball State and had they hired anybody. We had heard that they had gone down the road, so to speak. They were in talks with somebody, and they do. I guess they were waiting for that team to get out of the tournament, and that did happen. And if you have not heard, it happened about 4 hours ago or so. Ball State, Division I, Mid-American Conference team, out of Muncie, Indiana. Great campus if you haven't been there. I have to say that. My wife graduated from Ball State, as did Don's wife graduated from Ball State. Now, it really is a nice campus in Muncie, a great school, great arena. They have a great basketball arena. At least a decade ago, I coached an all-star game, Coca-Cola All-American game up at Ball State in their arena. It's first class. It really is. The new head coach is Jim Whitford, and I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly. Jim is the associate head coach at Arizona. And I told you before the break that Arizona's head coach, and I didn't say Arizona, but I said the head coach had been in the news, Sean Miller. And you know the craziness that went on in the Pac-12 with Ed Rush and putting a bounty on Sean Miller's head, $5,000 and a trip to Bermuda or the Bahamas or something like that, and the officials in the meeting took it seriously, and I think one did put a technical on him, might have even run him from the game, and it got out. And in today's world, things just get out quickly through Facebook, every iPhone, every smartphone has a recorder on it. If you're sitting in a meeting, if you're sitting in an interview, if you've been called into the office, hey, click the record button. But that's not the focus of what we're talking about. He is the associate head coach, James Whitford. He's from Wisconsin originally. He coached in the Mid-American Conference as an assistant. So he has at least a pulse of the Midwest area. And Ball State is usually going to recruit out of Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, in that area. I suggest that they start recruiting, they broaden their recruiting base because they've got to compete with Michigan State, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Purdue, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Cincinnati. The list goes on and on. I didn't even get into Illinois yet. You got Illinois State, Illinois, of course. You've got Bradley. So it's a tough recruiting base for a program that has struggled. They had some good years when Majerus was there. They had a couple of good years in between there, but they have struggled as a program. Great campus. Football has been outstanding the last 7 or 8 years. In fact, one of their former head coaches is now the head man at Michigan, Brady Hoke, in football. So I just got corrected by somebody who sent me a text and said, I said, is ready to kick off. And he said, you mean tip off, don't you? Okay. I'm corrected on all this. I'm corrected. It is the tip off. The tip off's going to happen. I guess I use kickoff because I'm just so used to things kicking off. But you're right. The tip off will happen down in Atlanta. So we wish him luck. We wish Ball State luck. Guys, I think that Ball State is this precious gem covered up and just waiting to be exposed. It really is. And if he can come in and he has connections in the Midwest, he's also created connections through his stint at Arizona, out into that area of the country. If he can use that to bring some players in that maybe would have never gotten into Indiana, first of all, they're going to love it. Now, we don't have the weather that Arizona or some of the western states have, but we have the enthusiasm and the following and the people that still, you know, basketball is number one. And Ball State, Muncie, Indiana, the typical middle town America. And I say that because years ago, Muncie was used as in an experiment, so to speak, as the typical middle America town. And they are just frothing at the mouth for good basketball in Muncie, Indiana, and at Ball State University. You've got some strong basketball areas around there. You've got Muncie, you've got Anderson right down the road, and then you've got the Indy Donut, as Kyle Neddenrip said the other day, right in there. So there's good basketball. Lafayette over to the west, but still close. Logansport. You've got a lot of good, what we call Indiana, state of Indiana basketball hotbeds. And they would definitely get on the Ball State bandwagon and fill that arena. And it is a beautiful arena if you haven't been there. So good luck to Coach Whitford and the Ball State Cardinals as they get ready. But let's go back to what we're focused on in this special edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, Final Four Edition. The Coach K and Joe Show, Final Four Edition. And we'll be spending the next 50 minutes with you or so talking hoops, talking basketball, talking Final Four. You know, before we went to break, I talked about the conferences, multiple conference participants in the Final Four. And we talked about, I mentioned the Big Ten and how a lot of people will be down on the Big Ten. And I looked at the bracket. It's sitting right in front of me. We do have Michigan in the Final Four. But as I said before we went to break, Michigan State was just a game back of taking on Louisville for a chance to go to the Final Four. Ohio State lost to Wichita State, which would have put them in the Final Four. Indiana was beaten by Syracuse, a very, very good Syracuse team that's playing very, very well right now. And had they won that game, they would have played Marquette for the chance to go to the Final Four. So let's not be too hard on the Big Ten. They represented themselves pretty well. You know, we had the early exit of Wisconsin and Coach Bo Ryan and I know Terry Hutchins at the Indianapolis Star kind of tweeted a tweeted something about that, and I was disappointed in that. Bo Ryan does a great job. Wisconsin was a solid team and does a great job, and they just didn't shoot the ball well. They didn't play well. They did not play well, and they left the tournament early. They went out early. But he made light of the fact that the Big Ten Coach of the Year had been eliminated, and all the Big Ten teams were left. And, you know, I commented about it a couple times, and he said, hey, it was just a tweet. My response was, just a tweet said it was just a match, said the fire starter. I mean, when you put that out there, you got to expect that some people aren't going to agree, and I didn't agree. So I think the Big Ten represented themselves well. But here's who we do have multiple teams from. We have them from the Big East. And you've got to admit, folks, basketball people, and we have some pretty sharp basketball people that listen to our program, as well as Major League Baseball followers and football people, you've got to admit that the Big East has disappointed many, many times over the years. I mean, they're always getting 7-8 teams in it and bowing out early. But not this year. Not this year. Syracuse gets on a run, and they make it to the Final Four. Louisville starts their run, gets North Carolina A&T Slat and Liberty, the play-in game. They win it. They beat Colorado State. They beat Oregon, a very good Oregon team coached by Dana Altman. And they beat Mike Krzyzewski's Duke Blue Devils, trying to reach Final Four for the 12th time under the tutelage of Coach K, the other Coach K. He's the other Coach K. I'm not going to say which Coach K is better, but he's the other Coach K. So the Big East has two representatives, and as I mentioned before we went to break, the last time we had multiple representatives, guess what conference? The Big East, Connecticut, Jim Calhoun, and Villanova. Coach Wright. 2009. The last time the Big Ten had two representatives was in 2005. The last time before that, the Big Ten did a nice job in 99 and 2000 with multiple representatives. So it does happen. It does happen. Multiple teams from conferences get in. And folks, will that change? Will that happen even more often? I think it will. I think that we will see multiple teams from the same conference in the Final Four more often going forward. And you might be saying, hey, Coach K, why are you saying that? It hasn't happened that often. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we have the super conferences now. You didn't think about that, did you? Didn't think about that. We have the super conferences now. And you've got larger conferences with more outstanding basketball teams, more outstanding football teams in them, and they're going to find their way into national championship games or Final Fours more often from the same conference. I have a text that just came in and said, don't forget, Louisville's women's team is also in the Final Four. Yes, they are. They did what the North Carolina State boys or men's basketball team didn't do all season. After a big win, come back and win again, and they did it at the right time. They beat Brittany Griner and Baylor, took them out, came back, beat Tennessee, and now they're playing in the Final Four. How about that? Two teams from the same school. I've seen that with Connecticut. We've seen the UConn women and the UConn men in the Finals Four at the same time. And we may have seen them both win it. They may be situation where UConn won the championship in the men's and women's at the same time. But I'm pretty sure that this doesn't happen a lot. And so for Louisville, women's team, who really wasn't one of the teams picked to get into the Final Four, but when you hit 16 threes and play some pretty good defense against Baylor, you kind of open the door to get there. Also going on, if you are a Big Ten fan or a Big 12 fan, there's another tournament that was taking place this week out of New York City. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that other tournament that was taking place this week. And championship game was on Thursday, and the Big 12 and the Big 10 was involved in that. So you got to wonder, are these teams somebody to look at next year? When we come back from break, we'll talk about that. You can call in at 773-897-6325 or text me, Coach K, 812-480-9449. You're listening to the special Final Four edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show live special edition. And, of course, this will be on podcast following the live show. You can also go back and listen to the podcasts of previous shows. Our Friday live show was a good one. Go back and listen to the podcast because we actually went. We have a normal live show of 2 hours. But Kurt Guxell and I started ranting a little bit, and next thing we know, we're 35 minutes over. So you can catch a lot of that on the podcast. I've got a text here. It's from John. Actually, it says Johnny L. Johnny L. sent me a text. He says, Coach K, do you think Trey Burke deserves to be, basically he's saying, do you think Trey Burke deserves to be the top player in the country, player of the year? You know what, Johnny? I'm not sure. I think that Trey Burke has exceptional talent. I think he has played on a team and in a scheme, a basketball scheme, that fits him. I do think that his game has expanded and improved. Now, you might say, Coach K, what's the difference of expanded and improved? I'll tell you what it is. I can be a shooter. I can shoot and be a decent shooter. And I can work at it and work hard at it, and I can improve my shooting. Okay? I can improve my shooting. I can be a pretty good ball handler, but have difficulty finding the open man, don't see the floor well. My focus is handling the ball. I can expand my game by becoming a better passer. I can expand my game by becoming more of an offensive threat. How many times have you watched a game, folks? How many times have you watched a game And that guy out front, that perimeter player, that point guard, man, he does such a great job of handling the ball. He's also a pretty good distributor of the ball, but he's not, he can't score. He can't score. You can be a great scorer, a great shooter, but you're not a complete offensive threat. And you can improve your game and become someone who is a threat to create points or baskets every time down the floor. Because not only can this guy shoot, this guy can pass and find, he sees the floor and can get the ball to the open man. That's expanding your game. Victor Oladipo, for you Indiana fans and for you non-Indiana fans, is the perfect example of someone who expanded his game this year. And so we go back to the question from Johnny. Trey Burke has expanded his game this year. If you have watched him in the tournament, he has become much more of a threat to help Michigan score. Not just by shooting further out, or not just by trying to dribble to the basket, but he's looking for people. He's passing up a good shot for a better shot. He's passing up a good shot to get the ball to somebody else for a better shot. He's learning to understand how to move the basketball and work the shot clock to their favor and not to the defense's favor. So, you know, I don't know if he was the best player in the nation. I think there are a lot of good players. But I think he started out as somebody that they were highly touting and watching, and he continued to score, and his team continued to win, and once they got in the tournament, they started winning even more. You know, a lot of people have asked, what about Cody Zeller, Coach K? Do you think he went backwards this year? No, I don't think he went backwards this year. I think the teams defended him differently. I think that IU's never had a clear offensive scheme. And you might say, what are you talking about? They made the Sweet 16, Coach. They were number one ranked. Yeah, but they did it a lot of times on their ability. And I think that Cody Zeller finds himself in a position where some of his skills didn't get promoted or focused on during the year. But that, to me, is if I was him, if I was Cody Zeller and I was that coaching staff, I would be getting the tapes out or the DVDs out, and I would be going through every game, and I would be breaking down the parts of the game where Cody Zeller was involved on both ends of the court, and then I'd be splitting those out, and I'd just be making master DVD copies of Cody Zeller's movements on the floor, where he got the ball, what he did. I'd be isolating his footwork, you know, how he took his steps to the basket. You know, there were a bunch of times, folks, he took these big, long steps to the basket, didn't use his body to create position, and found himself almost traveling, and sometimes traveling. But again, I'm digressing and getting onto IU because I'm a Hoosier fan, and I'm a Cody Zeller fan, and I don't know if he'll be back at IU or not. But Trey Burke probably is as worthy of being Player of the Year as anyone else would be. Now, he did play with a pretty good cast of characters. Robinson III, Hardaway, Mitch McGarry, Stauskas, those guys aren't bad. Or as they might say out in the local bar, they ain't too bad. They ain't too shabby. And they aren't. They're tall, they're quick, they're explosive, they all can score, and they make it a lot easier for him. But again, he's getting all the accolades, and folks, he is in the Final Four, and that's a great place to be. Before we went to break, I talked about another tournament that's been going on. And it wasn't the girls' basketball tournament, because I already talked about that, the fact that Louisville has made the Final Four there. I'm talking about the NIT, the tournament that was the tournament before the NCAA. How many of our listeners out there realize that? How many of our listeners out there listening to the Coach K and Joe show realize that the NIT, the National Invitational Tournament, that was run out of New York, the Madison Square Garden, it was the IT tournament for years. If you made it to the NIT, that was what we know as the NCAA. And some of you are shaking your head, well, what's he talking about? Google it. Folks, Google it. It's at your fingertips. In the old days, we'd say, look it up. Pull out your encyclopedia. Go find an old Sports Illustrated. No. Google it. Bing it. Yahoo it. Whatever. But the NIT was the tournament out of New York. That was the place to. That was the tournament to play in. That was the place to go. And if you made that, in fact, people turned down when the NCAA tournament first started to be put in place and started to be played, and the colleges had taken control of it. The NIT was controlled outside of the universities. The people would refuse the bid from the NCAA to play in the NIT. And then at one point, the NCAA tournament got so strong and so big that people started refusing the NIT bids to go to the NCAA. And then we had a period where if you lost early in the NCAA, they'd let you go play in the NIT. It's kind of crazy. It's the Wild West basketball tournaments at one point. But the NIT tournament's been going on. I love to watch the NIT tournament because a lot of times it's the teams that are going to make their presence known next year, next season. And who was in the finals? If you watched it, you would have seen Baylor out of the Big 12 taking on Iowa out of the Big 10. And I've said all year, and you can go back and listen to the podcast of the Coach K and Joe show, I've said all year that Iowa is a team that's coming. They've got size. They've got shooters. They're long. They run the floor. They've got some athletic ability. They probably need to recruit a few more what I call athlete guys with high-level athletic ability that can play the game a little bit. If they can add that to their group, I think they're going to be pretty good. They were beaten in the championship game on Thursday of the NIT. Baylor took them out 74-54. And Scott Drew, the Baylor coach, who's done a great job down there, had an outstanding team last year. He had a good team this year. You know, they were 23-14. And a lot of people wonder how they didn't make the tournament. But after watching them in the NIT, but, you know, the Big 12 was not the type of conference this year that a lot of people gave a lot of credibility to. You had Kansas, and then you really dropped off into Kansas State. Sorry, Bruce Weber, but you did, and it didn't shock me when Kansas State went out early. You had Kansas, and then you dropped off quite a bit to Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, which Lon Kruger's doing a great job of bringing them back. But Baylor beats Iowa 74-54 in the NIT tournament, but look for Iowa to make some noise in the Big Ten next year. I think they will. Their team was young. They've got some pretty good players, and they'll come back and be ready to go. I mentioned Louisville is in the Final Four for the ladies. Louisville 28-8 versus California, the Golden Bears. The Golden Gals, 32-3. And Notre Dame, yes, Notre Dame, 35-1. They're fun to watch. I've seen them play. They'll be playing Connecticut, 33-4. That's such an interesting matchup because they're both in the same conference. and Connecticut's girls teams are tough. And I saw Notre Dame and Connecticut, the women's teams, play a couple of times, played each other this year. And it was really, really interesting. So that's what's going on in the girls' Final Four on Sunday. And, of course, the championship game for the boys will be on Monday. So we've talked about the NIT. We've talked about the girls' NCAA or women's Final Four. The NCAA Division II tournament. We don't leave anything out. When it comes to sports, talking sports, This is tournament central. This is tournament weekend. This is the Coach K and Joe Show Final Four special. NCAA Division II tournament championships Sunday, guess where's that? Atlanta, Metro State 32-2 versus Drury. And Drury is out of a conference that the that Southern Indiana University plays in. Drury, 30-4, pretty good team. Also, the high school All-American games are going on right now. McDonald's All-American games are going on. You can catch those on, as Dan Patrick calls them, the mothership station. And you know my feelings on, I hate to even bring it up, the way Mike Greenberg and ESPN took the Rutgers situation and even though it was not a good situation, took it and beat it and rebeat it until they could get as many heads as they could, destroy as many reputations as they could, hurt as many families as they could. Well, the mothership needs to check their beamers, needs to call Scotty off the bridge and check out the engine room and see what's going on. Maybe Captain Kirk needs to come in and with Spock and give the Vulcan hand crunch to the shoulder. Final Four weekend, we've got in just a little bit, not long from now, 6 o'clock Eastern time, Louisville, Wichita State are going to kick off. You've got the number one seed in the country. Literally, the number one seed of the number one seeds in Louisville Cardinals under Rick Pitino. And, of course, Coach Pitino knows something about Final Fours, and he knows something about winning, and he knows something about being the underdog. He was that at Providence. He brought Kentucky back. He's been at Louisville. Couldn't quite get it done for the Boston Celtics, but, hey, he went out there and gave it a chance. Spent a lot of money, didn't have much to show for it. Probably too much control. Needed to do a little less of the general manager's spot and more coaching. But having said that, Louisville gets there after beating Duke. And, of course, Kevin Ware had the terrible, terrible leg break, and he's from Atlanta. So it's kind of ironic that all this happens. Louisville ends up beating Duke handily, and they go into Atlanta, his hometown. And, you know, the misfortune he had, and it is sad that he's not going to be able to play in this championship game. But, folks, don't you love social media? Look at all the the Facebook messages and the Twitters about him and all that's been going on, YouTube videos, 6, 8, 10 million people doing hits on it. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a feel-good story after a really bad situation. So Louisville and Wichita State, let's talk a little bit about it. Wichita State, Greg Marshall, tough guy. When you first look at him, he looks like a professor from a college. He's got his glasses. He's got the old hair slicked back. What a team. A team that plays angry, as he calls it. They're aggressive. They hit the boards hard. They shoot the ball decent. They handle the ball. Armstead does a great job of handling the ball against pressure. They can defend. They can put pressure on you on the half court. And they can come at you on the full court. They got a lot of strengths going into this game. They beat Gonzaga, a number one seed. What if they end up beating two number one seeds here? What if they beat Louisville and they have two number one seeds beaten? Beat to their credit. They beat LaSalle. This was a great track for Wichita State to have a chance. If you were going to beat a number one seed, Gonzaga would have been the one that you beat. Then they played LaSalle, and LaSalle had the gutsy little group that had moved along in the tournament, beating Ole Miss and beating Kansas State after they beat Boise State on a play-in game. So LaSalle is in this game, but they're small, and it played right into Wichita State's hands. And then Wichita State had to come out of the LaSalle game and play a much different type of team, one of the best teams in the Big Ten, one of the best coaches in the Big Ten and in the country, Thad Matta and the Ohio State Buckeyes. They handled everything Ohio State threw at them after taking a big lead on the Buckeyes. They were able to handle everything Ohio State put on them, from Aaron Kraft and Deshaun Thomas and Ross and all the other guys, and they were able to hold on to the win to go into the Final Four. It's a great story, folks. And you can say, well, look, Coach K, they had the easy route to go. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Sometimes it's better to have the easy route. Sometimes it's better you still got to win games, folks. The other team wants to win just as much as you want to. Wichita State had a good team all year. They played their best at the right time. And there's no, you know, you'd think there could be a science to that, but it's just hard. Yeah, I've had teams that were better than the other teams that I've had, and they didn't play well at the right time. And then I had teams that weren't that good, and they played well at the right time and won in the tournament. It happens at every level in every sport. Look at the New York Giants in football. Eli Manning, they look like they stink it up, man. Even Giants fans are ready to go cheer on the Jets, God forbid. But they turn it around and they win a Super Bowl. Two of them, in fact, when a lot of people weren't sure they could. So Wichita State is playing Louisville. Let's talk about some of the obstacles for each team. Wichita State, they go to the boards hard. How could that be an obstacle? Well, I'm going to tell you one. Louisville is great in transition. And if you're running five guys to the boards and you don't get that basketball, Louisville's going to get out with it in transition. You're not going to have anybody back to stop the easy transition baskets. Another obstacle, in my opinion, Wichita State is not the quickest team in the tournament. They're not the most athletic team in the tournament. They do have some athletic players and some good guards, but they're not man for man. They don't match up with Louisville. I think it's an obstacle. I think when the quickness and speed, of Louisville starts to come at you in wave after wave after wave, you have to be able to handle that. And it's just like those waves beating against that sandcastle on the beach down in Florida, which I haven't been to in a couple years. And it's beating across that sandcastle, and slowly but surely, the foundation of that sandcastle gives away, and the rest of it comes tumbling down. I'm not saying that Wichita State can't beat them. I'm saying that that's an obstacle. Third obstacle, in my opinion, for Wichita State, they haven't been there. And you know what? Getting to the Final Four, sometimes teams mentally lock themselves in and say, we want to get there. We want to get to Atlanta or wherever it might be. We can get there. We can do it. Once they get there, have they reached their goal? They were in the Final Four. And they just let down a little bit mentally. And when they let down a little bit mentally, the physical starts to follow. And when you're not as good physically, athletically anyway, that's when you can have some issues. Not saying they're going to. Look at Butler. Butler goes 2 years in a row. They weren't just happy to get there. They didn't lose that mental focus. Defensively, you know, they had a nice team. They had some decent players. They had a little size, some shooters, a little quickness, hard workers, smart basketball players. And both years got to the final game. They just didn't have enough. One shot, millimeter, goes in, and they beat Duke for a national championship. Connecticut, they just didn't have enough left in them. They didn't shoot the ball well. And see, that's the thing. Wichita State's going to have to shoot the ball well. They're going to have to be on their A game. They're going to have to do everything well in this game. Can they? Yes, they can. But I think these are obstacles that they've got to overcome. And the mental focus of getting to Atlanta, is that good enough? Was that good enough? It brings you down physically, too. Louisville's been there. We'll talk about some obstacles for Louisville in just a minute. But those are big obstacles. And the fourth one is, and I just mentioned it, is they've got to shoot the ball well. And you can say, well, of course they do. And I'm not talking about just making shots. I'm talking about taking good shots. And when the Louisville defense gets on them, they've got to be ready to take care of the ball, make good passes, and not allow that defense to speed them up. To you young guys out there, to you parents of young guys, or even coaches listening, you know, what does a press want to do? A press wants to get you speeding up or slowing down, but regardless of whether they're trying to speed you up or slow you down, they're trying to make you take shots that you wouldn't normally take. They're trying to get you to take quicker shots or shots that you think are good shots because you're open, but it's not the best shot. It's too quick, too deep, gives them more opportunities at possessions. And folks, Coach Pitino has said it time and time and time again. If we're going to win games, we need to win games because of our defense. If we're going to win a championship, we've got to win it because of our defense. He's been there before. He understands that. You may not shoot well every game, but you can defend well every game. You can defend well, rotate, move, be where you need to be, force the other team into making bad passes, blind passes. And he understands that, because if you defend well and you create turnovers and you get that ball bopping all over the place, it's kind of like baseball. Yeah, Coach K can talk about baseball. Put the ball in play. Quit popping the ball up. What do coaches tell their guys all the time to get a rally going or to get something going? Put the ball in play. Make the defense handle it. That's why teams like the Cincinnati Reds are successful, because they play good defense. Put the ball in play, and let's see what the team can do when they got to pick it up, throw it around the infield, make plays. It gets a little tougher, and that's what happens when you've got good defensive pressure on the basketball and you're speeding the team up and you're forcing them to move to spots they're not normally used to moving to, making passes they're not used to making. That's a thing that Wichita State has to be careful of, because they have to hit shots. And in order to hit shots, they've got to get good shots, and they've got to have the ball and the opportunity to get the shot. Now, you think when a coach says, or somebody says, well, they got to hit shots, there's more to hitting shots than just shooting it and the ball going in or going out. You have to get good shots. And then you have to take care of the ball long enough so you get shots. And Louisville wants to force you into not getting those and getting out with that ball and getting more opportunities with the basketball to score than you get. And guess what else? More good opportunities. More good opportunities. So I think that's an obstacle, one of four obstacles that I see for Wichita State. Can they win? Yes, they can. Is it going to be an uphill battle? Yes, it will. And we're gonna know what's going to happen here in an hour or so. We're going to know what's going to happen here in an hour or so. Louisville, on the other hand, their obstacles is, again, when they have the ball, not getting too sloppy with it. Siva and Smith not taking ill-advised shots, crazy shots, quick shots. They've got people who can score. They've got inside, they've got outside. But they've got to do those things on the offensive end. Obstacle-wise, you know, there's not a lot of obstacles to them winning a championship. That's why they're the number one seed in the tournament. They were there last year, so they understand. They have a vision of what they need to do and a vision of what they want to do because they were there before. When Louisville gets themselves in trouble, their obstacle is sometimes they let their athletic ability and their talent try to do too much. Coach Pitino, you'll hear him yelling all the time. If you watch him on the sideline today, he'll be directing him, move the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. Wait on the screen, wait on the screen. And that's going to be important for Louisville to be able to take care of business. So I think they're a big obstacle. Is making sure they don't let their talent, their athletic ability, get ahead of just playing good basketball. The second thing that they need to be careful of is foul trouble. You know, you never know how the officials are going to call the game. And you've got to be mentally right, moving your feet. You know, the biggest mistake most players make, and it doesn't matter if it's grade school, high school, college, or pro, they don't move their feet, and they end up reaching and playing defense with their hands. Now, they let you play defense a lot more today in college basketball than they did with your hands. You see teams slapping at the ball constantly. It used to be you wanted to slap up, but now they even let you get away with it slapping down. But you can't get key people in foul trouble. You can't get Dang in foul trouble. He is so important to control the paint. My gosh, he is the long arm of the law. He is Sheriff Andy Taylor from Mayberry stretching that hand up. He is the long arm of the law in that post. And then you have the quickness out front with Smith and Siva. You can't afford to let them get in foul trouble because they're so important to you offensively. Those are the two obstacles I see for Louisville. Don't let your athletic ability and your talent get ahead of your basketball IQ and your basketball understanding of playing the game, and stay out of foul trouble as you're trying to press. But when Pitino stretches the defense at him, what I mean by that, he takes him from a half court or from their end of the floor, protecting the basket, protecting Wichita State's basket, to the half court, three-quarters court, into the full, from baseline to baseline, that's when they have to be careful. That's when they have to be careful. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to break down Michigan and Syracuse, and then we're going to call it a day on the Coach K and Joe Show Final Four special. And when we come back, as I said, we'll talk Michigan and Syracuse. Don't worry, Josh Houchin. We're going to talk Michigan and Syracuse and talk some of the obstacles. And then I'll give you who I think is going to win today's games, at least at the time I say it. I may change my mind before tip-off. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show Final Four Special.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Final Four special of the Coach K and Joe Show. We've got about an hour and a half before tip-off in Atlanta. Louisville and Wichita State. I just got done talking about the obstacles to each team being able to win. Wichita State obstacles, I thought there were about four of them, and there could be five or six, but it just quickly, the four that I saw. And then Louisville obstacles. And I really think they got to make sure that they let them, their talent and their athletic ability stay in line with playing basketball, the knowledge and playing the game, and not let it get too much out ahead of them, and then they need to stay out of foul trouble because some of their key offensive players need to stay on that floor. And Coach Pitino doesn't discriminate. I got a text message in here from Melissa, and Melissa is from Illinois. Melissa says, thanks for talking about the girls' Final Four. Well, no problem, Melissa. And then she says, thought it was an hour show going long today. Well, I've never been accused of being a quiet man. So the time is there, so I'm using it. And you come on to talk about the Final Four, and you think you're talking about four teams, and you got to talk about the NIT, you got to talk about the women's Final Four on Sunday, you got to talk, bring up at least Division II. Ball State hires a new basketball coach. If you didn't hear earlier, they hired a new basketball coach, James Whitford. He was the associate head coach. I'm assuming I'm saying the last name correctly. He's the associate head coach at Arizona under Sean Miller. He's from Wisconsin originally. He was in the MAC conference. So he does have a connection to the Midwest area, and that is a major recruiting area for Ball State. But it certainly wouldn't hurt the Ball State Cardinals to reach out into the Southwest area and look at some ball players. They need to expand their recruiting area because they have so much competition on the Division I level just right around them. IUPUI Fort Wayne, or whatever it's called now. Ohio State, Dayton. There's all kinds of them. Bradley, Illinois State, Illinois, IU. Butler. You don't think Butler's going after players? They got to go after the best players. They got to play in the Big East. So I think Ball State is a gem. I mean a gem. Covered in dirt. And, boy, I would have loved to have been the one to help scrape that dirt off and show the gem. I think they have to expand their recruiting. And you know what? That's the name of the game anyway. If you're going to be successful year in and year out, you got to recruit. You've got to have assistant coaches who get it done, or you've got to be able to close the deal, or you have to have good connections. AAU has become important. I mean, we even have universities hiring AAU, what I call AAU brokers, guys that have coached AAU teams or are somehow connected into the AAU scene around the country in tournaments and things. And it just becomes a sales position. I don't know how much coaching gets done, teaching gets done, but it's part of the recruiting, and you got to recruit. Okay, we're talking about not the things that all the teams do well. We're talking about the obstacles. I believe that as a coach, as a person in business, as someone in anything you do, you got to look at what obstacles could keep you from being successful so you can kind of try to get those under control. Just got a text in here from our Indy correspondent, Don Schulteis. He said that Whitford will earn $275,000 a year at Ball State. That's good money. That's good money. And hopefully, anyone connected with Ball State listening, go back and tell him, hopefully you're giving him a budget that allows him to hire some good assistant coaches. And you're giving him a budget that allows him to recruit distances. And you're giving him a budget that allows to take those players on charter flights to games and not three-hour bus rides and five-hour bus rides. I know University of Evansville, when they went to play at Buffalo in the dot-com tournament or whatever it was, it wasn't the College Basketball Invitational. I think it was the one below that. That East Carolina won on a last-second shot, they took a bus ride out to Buffalo. I mean, that's a long trip from Evansville, Indiana. Google it. MapQuest it. If you're listening in California, which we have listeners out there, if you're listening over in the Middle East, which we have some people who are stationed over there that listen to the show, MapQuest it. How long a trip that is from Evansville, Indiana, to Buffalo to play in a tournament game. Evansville won. Good for them. Or excuse me, it was Albany. It was Albany, not Buffalo. I'm sorry. Albany. You know, U of E won the game. Much credit to Marty Simmons and his staff and his players. So it's not just what the head coach gets paid. As I mentioned on the show Friday, you got to have a budget that creates a perception and an atmosphere that you are a top program, creates a perception and an atmosphere that your team can be successful, that draws and attracts players. They've got the campus, they've got the arena, they've got the support, they've got a coach who should have connections in recruiting or an understanding. Been under Sean Miller, who's under Thad Matta. Can't get it much better than that. If he can take those things and he has the other pieces, maybe Ball State can find themselves at the top of the MAC conference and in the tournament. Let's talk about Michigan and Syracuse. I know Josh Houchin cringes every time I want to talk about Michigan. Obstacles to Michigan winning today. Obstacles to Michigan winning today. Michigan will have difficulty taking the ball to the basket on the pick and rolls. They should. If the Syracuse zone does what it's supposed to do, they will have problems coming off that pick and roll and getting to the basket. Mitch McGarry, who has had great games in the tournament, folks, look it up if you don't believe me. He's had great games, mostly great halves, but they were critical in Michigan being in a position to win the game for Trey Burke and the other guys to get it going. Gonna be tougher. Zones don't allow easy entry passes into the post. Going to be tough. You've got to exploit the short corner and the elbow area against the zone, and you do that by ball movement and stretching the zone out by being able to hit some shots, by penetrating gaps, pulling the defense, and kicking it. So that's an obstacle, pick and roll obstacle, which they love to do, and Mitch McGarry down low, who's done a great job, I see that as an obstacle. The third obstacle is impatience on the part of Michigan's offensive perimeter players. They're all good players, Robinson, Hardaway, Stauskas, they're tall. They're good players, and that's going to be an obstacle for Syracuse on the other side. But they get impatient. They get impatient with the basketball, and they shoot quicker shots than they need to. They shoot shots a little further out, so they better be hitting their shots if they're going to shoot them. Because if they don't, it's going to be an obstacle. It's going to be an obstacle. Patience in moving the basketball to break the zone down. One of our listeners, Jim Skillman, wrote on Facebook, he thought Michigan would blow him out. He may have been kidding, I'm not sure. But they could, but they maybe won't because of their impatience. You cannot beat Syracuse. You cannot beat a good zone by just coming down and firing it up. I've seen teams get 15-point leads because they're hitting that perimeter shot, and they come out the second half, and it's not there anymore. And now they're not in a rhythm or a groove to move the basketball, to find the breakdowns or the holes in the zone. They don't get it done. They're not able to get it done. So you've got to be patient. So finding ways to use the pick and roll to their advantage, it's going to be tough to do. Finding ways to get the ball into the elbow and the short corner areas to get McGarry involved could be an obstacle. And being impatient with the basketball. And I've got two or three more obstacles for Michigan, but I'm running short of time. And I don't want Josh Houchen to think and other Michigan fans think I'm piling on. But those are three things to look for. Those are three things to look for. And I'll just throw my fourth one out there. They better be ready. And Michigan's players are a little bigger than Indiana's were, Marquette. They better be ready for what looks like an opening, a hole for a bounce pass, or a simple step-out pass from top to wing or top to top, one side of the key to the other side, or wing to baseline. They better be careful because the long arms of Syracuse will pop out there and take that ball away. And those little bounce passes that you think are open, they're not. All of a sudden, you see two long arms come together and fingertips hitting each other, and the ball's stolen and going the other way. Those are things you got to think about when you're playing against a zone. The good thing is they've had a little time to prepare for it. Bad thing is they haven't seen it a lot. Because even though Wisconsin does some different things, and IU played some during the year, it's not the mainstay, and it's not the same personnel. Obstacles for Syracuse before we end the show, and we're going to be ending up here in just a few minutes. And again, this was our Final Four special, and we will be on again Monday for sure for the championship special. But for Syracuse, obstacles for Syracuse. You know, every week you play, momentum can change, and they have been on a run defensively like you've never seen in recent memory in the tournament. Their zone has been phenomenal. They're in the Final Four. They haven't been there since 2003. Well, they may have been there since 2003, but I'm not sure they have been. They got to be mentally sharp. Everybody's been telling them how good they are. Everybody's been telling them how they've got the greatest defense, that people just can't score. They had this tremendous game. Was it the top against Marquette? Marquette was a Big East conference team. They shut them down to 39 points after getting beat by them just a few weeks earlier. Have they hit the top? Did they hit the crescendo? Did they peak against Marquette? Did all the media attention they're getting, Jim Boeheim says, oh, I don't have to go to Disney World now. Did they meet all their expectations and goals? Mentally, they need to come back as sharp as they ever were because that defense, that zone defense, as much as it takes personnel, long-armed, athletic ability, you have to be sharp mentally. Because you are moving as a unit, you are handing off spots, handing off players. There's man-to-man in a good zone, but you're handing them off. It's like you're switching. And if guys are not moving and getting to the spots as the ball's moved around and talking about cutters and seeing people come from the backside to the short corner, yes, from the other side of the lane when the ball's opposite, pop into that short corner. If they're not passing guys through, they're going to have a problem. You know, Syracuse has made a living at one man pulls the ball up and call, what I call stands the ball up, and the other player comes in and swats at it. They got to be moving in tandem. Good zones move in tandem. One moves, the other guy moves. Patino knows that. He used to run some great zones with Louisville. But that is going to be an obstacle that Syracuse has to handle. Mentally, are they ready to come back and finish this weekend off and finish off the tournament and win a championship? Boy, they have gotten a lot of press. The one thing that did help them, and please don't take it the way it sounds, but the injury to the Louisville player took a lot of focus off that. The mess at Rutgers that never should have reached the crescendo that it reached. The mothership ESPN, Mike Greenberg, and the hose of dirty water, Stephen A. Smith, helped that happen. They had an agenda for whatever reason against Rutgers. I guess Rutgers didn't give them enough information, didn't give them access to the coach, didn't give them what ESPN believed they deserved, so they went on the Rutgers, we're going to crucify. Ed Rush and the Pac-12 mess. So that did dampen it a little bit, but Syracuse is at. So mentally, it's important. The second thing is Syracuse has to get back in transition. An obstacle that I see for Syracuse is when they come off offense, they're used to going down and setting up in that zone, in positions in that zone that they know they're supposed to go to. Michigan's transition offense is as good as anyone in the country. They are quick. They are fast. They spread the floor on you. They spread the floor on you. And they hit shots. And if you don't get back and you don't point out and call out their and a zone isn't used to doing that, man-to-man is call out and pick up particular shooters, you're going to have a problem. You can't say, well, my spot was the low post left side. If there's two guys over there with the basketball, somebody else better be over there on transition helping you to pull that up, or somebody's going to get an easy shot, or they're going to get a dribble penetration to kick off for a layup because somebody's going to have to pick up the ball. So an obstacle for Syracuse is transition defense. They got to get back. Now, Syracuse is a good rebounding team, but they got to get back. The third obstacle that I see for Syracuse is when they're in their zone defense. Because of the way Michigan plays, they have five players who can score. And their five can go out on the perimeter and hit shots. Some better than others, but they all can do it. And they have the ability to create shots. And that's going to really put pressure on that zone because it's going to extend that zone out. They're not going to be able to crowd around the post area from elbows to blocks. They're going to have to extend out and handle the perimeter shooters. Stauskas can shoot it. Hardaway can shoot it. Robinson can shoot it. Burke can shoot it. McGarry can shoot it. Guys coming off the bench I haven't even mentioned, they can shoot it. Coach Beilein's philosophy is to have teams that have offensive firepower then get out with the ball and hit shots and score. And if they stretch that defense, if they extend Syracuse's zone, the obstacle for Syracuse is how do we handle the flashes to the middle? How do we handle the flashes to the middle as we're trying to cover on the perimeter? As that ball is passed around the perimeter, skip passes are made, screens and kicks with the ball, and we're rushing out to get a hand up and point the shooter, as we call it, get a hand up. How are we going to handle that? Extending that zone defense, really stretching it out, could become an obstacle for Syracuse winning. And then the last point I'll make on Syracuse as we get ready to end this special, Final Four special, is offensively, Can they score enough to beat Michigan? If Michigan is scoring, if Michigan is hitting shots, can Syracuse score enough? Because obviously their defense is not creating points for them. Can they score enough? One of the knocks on Syracuse this season, folks, was their ability to score. I mean, to be offensively productive. And that could be an issue. You know, we haven't even gotten into the obstacles of free throw shooting percentages. Go look at the team's free throw percentages. That's going to tell you a lot about the critical part of the game, who can hit free throws if it's an obstacle because their team is not a good free throw shooting team. But that's the fourth obstacle I see for Syracuse. If their defense cannot create points for them, because the other obstacle is if that zone defense gets stretched, if that zone defense doesn't get back on transition, another obstacle. If they don't, their defense cannot create enough opportunities for them to get points, can they score enough points to beat Michigan if Michigan's scoring, if Michigan's hitting shots? Because Michigan can hit shots, folks. That's how I'm looking at the Final Four. I'm not looking at the four teams and what they're really good at. Although when I talked about the obstacles, I kind of gave you a clue to that. I'm looking at the obstacles that may keep four really good teams from winning a national championship or getting to a national championship game. I'm looking at what obstacles in the game that they're playing and against the opponent they're playing, what could keep them from getting there. You got to do it. You got to look at the obstacles, the pitfalls, the walls, the chains. Remember, the other team, you may have the ball, but the other team wants to get it. They're going to defend you. You may be on defense. The other team wants to score. What are the obstacles that keeps Louisville, Wichita State, Michigan, Syracuse from getting to the championship game? Well, we're going to go to break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to end up the show. We appreciate everybody joining us for the Coach K and Joe Show Final Four Special. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Quibby, go ahead.
Me? Or, yeah, shouldn't we, like, learn by...
We're back on the show. We want to thank everybody for listening to Coach K and Joe's show, Hoop Special, for the Final Four. Join us as we get past this round, which is coming up in about an hour, and we'll be back for the final two for the championship game. If not on Sunday to talk a little bit about it, we'll be here for sure on Monday. Check your Facebook, your emails, your Twitter, and make sure you follow us. Again, we would appreciate it, and thank you for listening to this special edition, Final Four edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.